Drew Garabo, John Senning, and if this button works correctly, we'll be speaking with Steve Weintraub of Golden Diamond Source. Are you there, Steve?
I am. Hey, guys. How are you? Hey.
Glory be. Glory be. We're doing great, man. How's everything at Gold and Diamond Source, 3800 Olmertson Road, always online at goldanddiamond.com?
We're busy. We're right in the middle of our gift card match. Yesterday it started, and today and tomorrow, $500 gift card match. You come in, we for $500, we match it, so you're getting everything at half price.
Oh man, that is quite the deal. And I can't tell the story enough. I was so scared to buy a ring. I was truly terrified. I had to call my mommy. I had to call my mommy Aww. To come and go with me to go get the ring. And 2 seconds after walking in that door, I was immediately put at ease. I don't know what the secret sauce is at Golden Diamond Source, but when you walk in there, you automatically feel at ease and there's somebody to help you. There's no waiting. You've got so many people always working. It's a great thing.
Yeah, well, that's by design. You know, I mean, I started the business 40 years ago this June, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And I had that similar experience when I went out engagement ring shopping, which was very uncomfortable. And I'm not even going to go into the nightmarish details of it, but We plan when you walk in the door to make you feel comfortable and make you feel at home, and I think we do a good job at that. Julie's just amazing. She's on the floor most of the time. I come out to meet our clients, which I enjoy. So it's just a exciting, good experience for anybody that comes in. That's what we hear all the time anyhow. So
well,
thank you for sharing that, John.
Speaking of Julie, John, just a quick rhyme. You know it ain't no April Fools. We got to wish a happy birthday to Julie Jules.
The one and only. How were the birthday festivities?
Oh, well, they started about April 1st, and they just ended last night. We got my stepdaughter's Emily, her birthday, two friends' birthday. Maze, as you know, one of our top salespeople or our top salesperson in the store. Her birthday is the 23rd, Emily's the 28th, and Julie's is the 30th. So
it's just a nonstop.
Steve, do you get to combo all of those into one Bascom's dinner, or is it like an individual, everybody's got to have their own separate one?
We just completed the Grand Slam, the fourth dinner in the last 10 days last night.
Steve,
no, it's not one dinner.
Steve, if this is too intrusive, feel free to tell me to go away. But like, you know, in your line of work, many men would think, what do I get for my wife? I'll get some diamonds. I'll get some jewelry. Does that make it harder to do so? Or do you just have to find the extra rare gems to really impress Julie at this phase of the game?
No, I just let her pick it out. I mean, this year, actually, when I was in Beverly Hills last time, I ran into somebody and they introduced me to one of the top salespeople at Dior. So she knows when by the way, our anniversary is next Monday. So
happy anniversary.
Another dinner.
18th year, another dinner. 18th year anniversary. So, but anyhow, she sent me followed up and sent me a link to their site. And I said, hey, if you want a purse, pick one out. And she picked out this little tiny little purse. And I said, oh, that's great. That's nice. something different. So the purse was $6,000. I said, honey, I don't mind, but if this purse is $6,000, she almost had a heart attack. She goes, you know what? Why don't you just give me jewelry instead? I said, good idea.
So, look at that.
But, I mean, you know, a purse is a purse. A diamond jewelry, a colored gemstone jewelry is forever. So, sure. I mean, I'm obviously impartial to the fine jewelry business. But, yeah, she's happy. She loves jewelry, thank God. And she's very happy. She picked out herself a nice pair of earrings. Nothing extravagant. But,
sure. Where'd you guys go for dinner in downtown St. Pete?
I can pronounce this name right. Alelo, A-L-L-E-L-O. It's the one right next to Park Shore.
Is that kind of newer?
I think it's been there about a year or two. I think it's a Greek name for welcome or mutual or something like that. We looked it up last night because I was a little inquisitive about why this name. I didn't understand it. So it's Greek. It's coming from Greek. So it was very good. We ate outside. You know, there's a lot of nice excitement outside, a lot of people watching. The weather was perfect. I'm going to be here until May 21st, and then I'm off to the to the west for the summer. But right now the weather here is just perfect. But in another 3 weeks, I think it'll start to heat up.
I think it may be quicker than that. We were talking this morning. Paul Delgado says next week upper 90s all week. So that time might be coming soon.
Ugh.
Well, there you go. There you go. So anyhow, but it could be worse. A lot of people complain about the summers here, but it's only for 2-3 months. So.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful area we live in, and they've opened up all these new expressways and widened the road.
They really are.
Franklin's coming along, and we may get a new Ray Stadium. I think we had a preliminary vote last night that was favorable, so I'm really looking forward to that. I hope they get it approved quick so we can open up. I think by 2028, I think.
Steve,
I'm mistaken.
When it comes to stadiums, there's always a debate about how much the tax rate should increase to help fund these stadiums and whether or not that is giving millionaires or billionaires assistance in finances. What's your take on that? Does a city benefit so much from a new stadium that it makes sense to use tax dollars for it? Or should these owners be forced to foot most of, if not all of, the bill for a brand new stadium?
Well, we obviously love for them to foot the whole bill. The only one I know that's ever footed the whole bill was, what's his name, Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry's house.
Yeah, and that's an incredible. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Mm-hmm. I've been there one time, and it's truly a spectacle.
WrestleMania?
To walk inside. Yeah, WrestleMania.
Mm.
Yeah, but he did, and I think he funded the whole thing, took out some bonds or whatever. But, you know, at least we're getting, I think, half the money from the Rays, so I think that's a benefit. But listen, I'm a little impartial to downtown St. Pete. As you know, I live down here. I think it's a wonderful area. I think it's one of the best downtowns in the country, and I think it's this new stadium. They're going to build affordable housing, a Black History Museum, and I think it's going to be wonderful for the economy, and I think it's going to put St. Petersburg on the map. I mean, I think they're spending over a billion on the stadium itself and whatever else is going in there for the affordable housing, and God knows we need that. So I think it's a great thing for the area. But, again, I'm a avid sports fan, as you know, so I'm maybe a little impartial, but I think if you take a step back and look at what it can do for our community, I think it's a good thing for everyone.
Yeah, and a new building tends to be an attraction in and of itself. You look up I-4 a little bit and what the now Kia Center, then Amway Center, did for Orlando, and people who aren't even Magic fans will go to a game at least once because they just want to check out a new building. I think the Rays, who famously struggle with attendance, could benefit from a state-of-the-art facility that makes people interested. And then once they check it out, they'll go, oh, my God, I had no idea baseball was so exciting. Let me check this out more games a year.
I think it's going to change the whole scenario here with the Rays, with a new stadium. Mm. I mean, that stadium is antiquated. It's got a bad rap. You put in a nice, new, beautiful stadium with a retractable roof or whatever they're doing, semi-retractable, and spending $1 billion on it, I think it's going to change the whole customer experience. I'd like to get the Rays on the marketing wagon
a
little
preach.
Bit more. maybe give away some cheap tickets. I know. I don't know if you know one of my managers, Pat Kelly. He's from New York. He was telling me his son lives in New York City, and the Yankees give away dollar tickets to their games.
What?
It's standing room only, but for a dollar you can go in Yankee Stadium
and
wander around. So, and if you go to any of the Rays games, you'll see all the empty seats. I mean, why don't they do that? I just don't understand why they don't, you know, give away some tickets or sell cheap tickets and fill the stands. Let's get the stands filled.
Heck yeah.
Steve, it would have been a nice world if we would have been able to have multiple episodes of Stevie Diamond and the Boys covering the NHL playoffs and our Tampa Bay Lightning. But sadly, the playoffs started and ended since the last time we talked. What were your takeaways from the series against the Florida Panthers? We were lucky enough to be in the house for, Drew was actually there for both games, but we broadcast from game one. It kind of felt like things were going to be okay, and then it just got away from us.
Well, it's disappointing, but really, honestly, not surprising. I mean, midway through the season, I didn't think we were going to make the playoffs. You know, I really didn't. And if it weren't for Stamkos and Kucherov, really, and Hedman coming alive, we wouldn't have. I mean, Stamkos had probably the best second half of his career, which coincidentally is his renegotiation period now. So I think these athletes perform a lot better when they know they're going to be renegotiating their contract. And but whatever, whatever the reason is, I think he played unbelievably the second half of the season. I think he was the reason why we even won one game in that Florida series. We were obviously outmatched, especially defensively. Kucherov, I'm not sure what to say about that. He is, you know, definitely a Hall of Famer. And he's been compared to the mentality of a Wayne Gretzky by Phil Esposito, by the way. He's a brilliant guy. Some of the passes he made in the season, I don't know how he did it. Like, he has eyes in the back of his head. But Florida had his number, didn't they?
They sure did.
Crazy. Shut him down.
Neutralized him.
He got in his head, and he gave away that puck so many times. I mean, blatantly, I think he just couldn't get off the stick. And but certainly Stamkos and Hedman proved their mettle, didn't they, for old guys. So I hope we sign Stamkos, and I hope we sign Hedman. And, you know, we need to get some young guys in there. We needed to get another offensive player and a couple of good defensive players, and I think we'll be okay. I mean, I'm honestly was just happy we made the playoffs, but it was apparent from the first couple games that we were no match for this Panthers team, which I think they're going to go on to win the cup.
Oh, that would feel a little better.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And when we first drew them in the first round instead of Boston, I was optimistic. I thought we don't want to face those Bruins in the first round. This Panthers matchup favors us a lot better. And all the Panthers did was prove me absolutely wrong on that one. It was a terrible matchup for us. They figured out how to take Nikita Kucherov out of the game completely. And does it seem to you, Steve, like John and I talked about this week? We had to let guys go like Yanni Gourde, like a Ryan McDonough, like a Zach Bogosian, a Pat Maroon. But those guys are the reason that we won two cups in a row and then went to the finals in the third. And letting guys like that who bring all the intangibles go to other teams, I think eventually came back to bite us in the butt.
Oh, of course. I mean, Yanni Gourde was picked first by the Kraken in the draft.
Oh, yeah, scooped us from.
Yeah.
We couldn't protect him. And Palat, losing all these guys was devastating. Like I said, I was thrilled we just made the playoffs so I could watch a little bit more hockey, especially with the Rays playing the way they are. But, you know, they're decimated with injuries too. So I think it's going to take a while for them to get back on track. But, no, I'm just happy that they – I'm really happy the way Hedman and Stamkos performed. I mean, Stamkos was – he was an animal out there. I mean, I've never seen him play like that.
Yep.
You know, he was hitting people, checking people. He was all over the ice. His appearance was there all the time. I mean, he's become invisible sometimes in the playoffs, as you know. I don't know if he's hurt before or not, but he was amazing. I just got to hand it to him, and I think that's kind of cemented his legacy here in Tampa. I think that we're going to keep him now. I think he's going to be a bolt for life.
I hope so. I think it seems maybe it's just the pessimist in me, but reading all of it's like a big love fest right now, but I'm worried that is going to, you know, just building up to something not great. He made a bunch of comments and kind of called out all of the players on the team that were underpaid. And I don't know if he was doing that to set the stage for him not wanting to be underpaid, or maybe kind of backing the Lightning brass into the corner by saying, hey, I'm willing to take a friendly deal. So if we can't make a deal, it's not on me. The comments that he's made in the last 24 hours have been interesting.
I didn't see those. Who's underpaid on the team?
He went Cooch. Through a bunch of people. He mentioned by name Cooch, Hedman, and Point. And then mentioned specifically what they were being paid and how that was his quote was they're all grossly underpaid, but that's kind of what we've done here so that we can make runs at cup. So I don't know which direction he's posturing for the I'm not going to do that again because his last deal was so friendly, or more just hey, I'm flexible, so if we don't get it done, it's not on me.
Well, good for him. I'm underpaid too. I'm sure you and Drew are.
Yeah, I think so. We got to ask Steve. I'm curious, and I bet you I already know the answer. And I don't know if this was on your radar at all, Steve. But after the game, the last game against the Panthers, there was obviously some issues with some goals being called back, goalie interference on the Lightning, and John Cooper took the podium and said, they're wearing more pads than anybody else out there, and we protect them the most. Why don't we just put them in skirts? People were mad. He ended up issuing a full-blown apology, said that making that comment he was more upset that he made that comment than losing the Siri itself. What do you think about the comment and the apology?
I wasn't upset about it at all. Yeah. I think it was spot on. I mean, I don't know if you guys are aware, but never in the history of the playoffs, this is what they said, has a goal been disallowed like that, let alone two in the same game. There's been goalie interference, but they've never taken a goal off the board according for that reason. If you look at those two plays, I thought, first of all, the first one, I said, no way. I mean, he barely touched the goalie. I mean, it was incidental contact. I mean, there's no way they're going to take away that goal. When they took that one away, I said, that's crazy. And then the second one, I think, was even worse. So I have no idea what they're thinking. I mean, I've seen much worse not called during the regular season. And this is the playoffs. And it's not like the Lightning, it was like 3-3 and they were playing game 7. I mean, the Lightning were down 3-1. I don't understand it. I think there were very, very bad calls, and I get chided all the time by my buddies in Buffalo for complaining about the officiating, and I try not to complain about it, but this was so egregious. I think it was a travesty. I really do. Not that it would have made any difference in the overall outcome of the entire series, and it may have, though. I think definitely in the game. I mean, who knows? We win that game, come back to Tampa, win another one, and you got game 7. So, no, I thought it was horrible. I don't blame Cooper for saying that. I don't know. I didn't hear that he apologized. I wish he hadn't.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, momentum is a hell of a thing, especially when it comes to sports. And you know, maybe we don't come back and win that game, but when you have to suffer the demoralization of watching a goal get taken off and knowing that you're going to have to put that one up again to win a game, I can't imagine what that does to those guys on the ice. To us as fans, it outrages us, and you know, it sucks. I would have loved for the Lightning still to be playing hockey and imagine a game 7 and how exciting that would be in Sunrise, but you close the books on another season, the second consecutive first round exit. It is nice that we made the playoffs with the way we played this year, like you said, Steve, but you know, you close the books, you hopefully re-sign Stamkos, bring in some new guys, and figure it out and make another run at Stanley's Cup next year.
Yeah, I thought we the two guys we brought in, Dumba and Duclair, made a big difference in our second half of our season. Not so much in the playoffs. I mean, it's not that they were dogging it or anything else, but they just didn't come through like I thought they would. I think those two not performing as well as I think that we all thought they would. And of course, Kucherov. I think he was the key for us just not getting back on track. They got in his head. And the one thing about Kucherov, he is so talented. But, I mean, obviously, I guess he's going to have to maybe see a sports psychologist or something over the offseason.
You do wonder.
Let guys get in his head.
Yeah, you know? You do wonder what's really going on there. And I meant to bring this up to Drew at some point, but we talked to Gabby Shirley, who covers the Bolts, and she gave us a little sneak peek into what Cooch is like for interviews and things like that. And he's not super into it. He's almost against it, and maybe you don't even approach him at times. And I almost, you mentioned it then, Drew, and it triggered in my brain later, the whole number one BS, him being, I mean, for lack of a better term, wasted during all of those parades. I mean, he had the scene where he's pouring beer on people's heads. I almost wonder if, do you think he didn't like that you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
NHL is always looking for more personality, and
right.
I think us winning the cup that year and the persona of Cooch was more than maybe any other NHL player I've ever witnessed. And I almost wonder, knowing kind of how hard he is to get to open up now, if he resents the way he was presented or regrets the way that he acted after that cup and doesn't want to be seen that way, because he's been non-existent in the media since then, really.
Yeah, and we loved that version of Cooch. Like, we, you know, the city embraced that version and thought, oh my God, we're going to see this guy come out of his shell.
Yeah.
He was probably mortified. He probably looked at that and thought, I have been an embarrassment to myself and my organization. And maybe he retreated a little bit and backslid, and who knows? He's a hard guy to figure out. But the great ones, Steve, you mentioned Gretzky, Michael Jordan, etc., those guys don't let you take them out of a game. There's just no way you're going to stop them, especially in the playoffs. Michael Jordan had the flu and still put up like 40 points in the conference finals. So, you know, I don't know what it was for Cooch. I don't know what you do to solve it. A sports psychologist seems like a great idea to me, but the great ones can't let themselves be a non-factor, and that's unfortunately exactly what Nikita Kucherov was in the series against the Panthers.
Yeah, and to put things in perspective, although he just played atrociously, I thought, he still scored a lot of points, but they got in his head. I mean, I think he's the most talented guy in the league. One of the most talented of all time, in my opinion, and others. But you could get into his head on the ice, and that's never a good thing. So I think he does maybe need somebody to talk to about it, because if you went back and did those a replay and focused on Kucherov, those passes that he gave away, they were like, I mean, I was saying, are you kidding me? I mean, it was almost like he was, you know, on the take. I mean, you're going to be best of the puck to him.
And that's got to trickle down. Like, I think that trickles down. In that last game, I don't know if you watched it on Bally Sports, but, you know, Brian Engblom was going in on just the body language of the entire team. When they got that shorthanded goal, I mean, they looked like they were standing around. And when you say all those things about what might be the best player in the league right now, looking like a shell of himself, you can't tell me that doesn't trickle down to the rest of the team in some form or fashion.
Oh, it does. But, you know, I mean, we didn't have the talent on defense. I mean, we really didn't. I don't think that – I think we need to bring in another strong – either rent one or get one, another strong defenseman, and I think we need somebody – a good center, I mean, that can score goals. I mean, all we got, really, besides Kucherov, is Stamkos from the slot. I mean, that's it. I mean, and maybe Hedman from the blue line. But, I mean, you got to have some more utility guys scoring. Look at Florida, how balanced their scoring is. And defensively, they're an amazing team. And they certainly deserve to win that series. But, it was disappointing, but I was not surprised. I wasn't throwing anything. I only screamed once. Julie said I only screamed once. They weren't shooting the puck. I don't know if you noticed that. Yep. They would get up there, and everybody was afraid to shoot the puck. And if you look at the Panthers, they get in there and they fire the puck. And that's what I think you need to do. You need to get a rebound on these guys. I mean, you're not going to, you know, be ballerinas out there and beat Florida Panthers. You're just not going to.
Yeah, I didn't see before this series started Vasilevsky getting matched or even sometimes outplayed by Bobrovsky, but I'll be damned if Bob's didn't play out of his mind that entire series.
Well, you have to. I mean, to win a playoff series in the Stanley Cup, you have to play out of your mind. I thought Vasilevsky played well. I mean, he got peppered. Very little support in the back. I mean, guys were skating in, but he made some great saves. He kept us in there several times. But listen, we've discussed it till it's a dead horse here. I mean, Kucherov was the key to that whole series, and he didn't show up. And he showed up, but he didn't show up like he needs to for us to win a series like that.
Correct.
Now, I believe it was, I don't know what night it was, but that was the first game at Amalie Arena in the series. Also, the NFL draft that night. Were you able to keep an eye on the draft at all? It seems that everybody who is an analyst and grades, the draft performances, seems that the Bucks did pretty good. We bolstered our line a little bit. We might have a future center. We got this running back from Oregon, Bucky Irving, that everybody's talking about. Were you able to keep an eye on the draft at all, Steve?
Well, a little bit. You know, I saw we got the two guys that we needed. I mean, we needed to replace Jensen, and that running back seems really good. So, I mean, listen, I don't recall any Super Bowl teams ever winning the Super Bowl or even going to the Super Bowl that didn't have a good offensive line. So I think that's so important, and it's underrated. People don't realize how important it is. But I think that was a huge draft for the Bucks. I mean, I really do. I think the Bucks will be good. I'm so glad, as we discussed, them signing Mayfield. I think that's going to make for an exciting season. And I don't know how fast these rookies can get in there and play, but I hope it's pretty quick. And if it is, we could make the playoffs again and maybe go a little farther.
I like the sound of that. That Bucky Irving had the most missed tackles as a running back of Power 5 schools over the last 2 years. So, I mean, that guy looks like he's hard to take down, and that's on top of bolstering the line. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, knowing that you do have part of your heart in Buffalo, the night of the draft, I was looking around on social media, and it seemed that out of all of the fan bases, the Bills were melting down the most, because the Bills traded away their first-round pick to the Kansas City Chiefs that then went on to pick up Xavier Worthy, who was a wide receiver that I guess a lot of folks in Buffalo thought would have been a great match, you know, for Josh Allen. How you feeling about your Bills?
Well, I don't know. So I didn't even pay attention to that. Did they pick him up or did they let him go?
No. They traded their first round pick away to the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs picked up Xavier Worthy.
That's all we need is the Chiefs having another good player. No, I'm not happy about that at all. I think we got to replace Stephon Diggs. I mean, he's a crybaby, but he's a very talented player, and they need to replace him. You know, I don't think he's as great as he thinks he is, but he was pretty darn good.
It's interesting just to think about the mentality. I was reading an article before we started recording that the GM was saying, it's not like we traded the player to Kansas City. Like, they were going to do whatever they want, but it kind of feels like Kansas City is the big brother to the Bills these days when it comes to getting over the hump in the playoffs. So to do anything that could potentially help them bolster their team seems like not the most forward thinking.
Yeah, why would they do that? I don't get that move at all. That's perplexing to me. But, you know, you ask how the Bills did. Did I follow them in the draft? You know, yes, I do. Aside, you know, after the Bucs, they're my favorite team, and that's who I root for and everything else. But if you're a Bills fan, which I was born in the Buffalo Niagara Falls area, you are so numb to the Bills, okay? You just can't get too excited. You got to temper your enthusiasm. I am much more excited about the Bucs prospects of going somewhere. Until the Bills can break through and get back into the Super Bowl and win one, my expectations for them are very low, very low. Even though Josh Allen's a great quarterback, but you know it's the same old story year after year after year.
Aww.
So I think Baker Mayfield is going to take us to the promised land with this year. I really do. I'm very excited that they signed him. I think that was a very smart move, and I think it cemented our team to make the playoffs and go a little farther this year, I think.
Yeah, and it also kind of safeguarded us against plummeting after Brady because, you know, before Brady, Bucks weren't exactly setting the NFC on fire. Brady comes along like a juggernaut, puts our team into not just relevance but in discussion for the Super Bowl, which he brought us to. And then Brady leaves, and things could have been horrible. A guy like Baker comes in with that mentality, and you got a good reason to believe in Tampa Bay Buccaneers football again.
Yeah, I am. I'm excited about it. I mean, that was key for everything, and I'm so glad they signed him. And I think that's the key to our future. So, listen, the Bay Area has got some great sports teams. We're very lucky to have all these people here. And by the way, I'm excited about, we have a home in Park City. We just bought two more properties there, by the way. Salt Lake, I don't know if you saw, is getting the Arizona Coyotes.
They stole the Coyotes.
Oh.
They stole the Coyotes.
Yeah. More hockey.
So now I got three teams to root for. I got Utah, the Sabres, and the Lightning.
Is that arena near your place?
No, it's about it's a half hour away. But, you know, I don't go to the games like I used to. It's just I like staying at home, watching it, and yelling and screaming. I mean, I just get, you know, some of these games that you have the opposing fans in there, they just act like fools, and it's just hard for me.
It's tough.
You know?
We were sitting in front of a fan who was actually a Bolts fan at the Panthers Lightning game, and he was completely unbearable. He not only was pissing off all of the Panthers fans, but I think everybody in the section was annoyed with him.
Oh yeah, I don't understand that. How I would never ever dream of going to an opposing stadium and acting like a fool. I mean, first of all, I'd be embarrassed, number one. Second of all, I'd be afraid I'd get my rear end kicked. So these people that do that are crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you do that in California, you get shot.
That's true.
So, it's just I don't have the tolerance for it anymore, guys. I remember the last one when we were playing the Rangers in that one playoff series years ago, the Lightning. The New York fans, I'm telling you what, after that game, I said, I can't do this anymore. I was surrounded by them. We had two seats behind the goal, and we were completely surrounded by Ranger fans. And we kicked their ass. And it was ugly. You know, I just, you know, it's just not fun for me. I'd rather sit at home and watch it. But it is a good fan experience, though. I mean, I had season tickets for years, and I encourage everybody to go out and watch the Lightning because it is exciting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, Steve, we appreciate the time. Let's wrap this up by wishing Julie Jules a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You guys a happy anniversary. And can't wait to hear where we're going for dinner for that one. Where's the anniversary dinner? That's got to be someplace special, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I don't know yet. We've gone to every restaurant in town. So I'm going to let her pick. I don't know. Maybe we'll just stay home and order in. Who knows? You never know with my wife.
You need to get a helipad. Do they have a helipad on top of the building in downtown St. Pete? And you can just hop on the chopper, maybe head down to Miami for dinner, and then be back in no time?
No helipad, unfortunately. But, you know, listen, I'm sure whatever we do, it'll be a fun time. But it's just the celebration is kind of exhausting for both of us, honestly. So I think she's kind of worn out, too. Not to mention, every time you go out and eat, you got to eat dessert, and, you know, we're gaining weight, and, it goes on and on. But anyhow, I'm just glad that we made it 18 years. So
heck yeah.
Congrats.
Mazel tov. Yeah. Congrats to both of you guys. Thank you. And thanks, as always, for the time. Everybody get into Gold and Diamond Stores, which that gift card match, I'm telling you, that is a way to make your spending money go a long way. 3800 Olmertson Road in Clearwater, always open online at goldanddiamond.com. You will be treated like family. It is an incredibly pleasant experience. And Steve, our love to you and your family. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Yeah. Take care, bud.
Bye. This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.